Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. We want to welcome you to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. I'm your host for today, Apostle Nathaniel Leon, and I'm glad you're with us. We believe God is going to speak in a mighty way this morning or this afternoon, but I'm praying the grace and favor of the Lord over you, over your household, and we believe God's going to speak. So thank you for joining us. Good to see you, Sister Melissa. The Lord bless you. Make his favor to shine upon you. I'm going to ask, as you're coming in, as I ask every week, if you would do that work of the evangelist. What does the evangelist do? He shares the good news of Jesus Christ. If you would do that, I'm going to do the same in just a moment. Bless you, Minister Ruben. The Lord bless you, man of God. Katie Avin, blessings to you, Pastora, so good to see you all the way from Fresno. Sister Eunice, thank you for being with us. The Lord bless you. Sister Pretorius, woman of God, blessings to you, your husband, and your family. Looking forward to God's movement this year. God's up to something, so Lord bless you. Sister Valerie, God bless you. Again, I'm going to ask you if you would, if you could grab your device, as I'm about to do, and I'm going to ask you to go to the This Rock International page there. And if you could hit that share button and you could help us share the good news of Jesus. And we believe that as we do that, the Bible says the gospel of the kingdom must be preached unto all the world. And then the change of the age can come, not necessarily the end of humanity or creation, but the end of the world is what's called the end of an age, an eon. Changes as the purpose of God is fulfilled. So if you would do that, I'm going to encourage you to do that in the name of the Lord. Share. Blessing, Sister Joemma, thank you for sharing. The Lord bless all of you. We just got in late last night from the region of Florida. God moved tremendously, and there was a great outpouring of the presence of God in Florida, in St. Augustine, with our Freedom South campus family, Pastor Juan and Michelle Torres. It was an amazing time, and God moved, and we're recovering over, not major jet lag, but about 3 hours different, so we're getting rest and recuperating, but right to it. So good to see you, Sister Veronica. The Lord bless you. Bless you, Sister Marissa. The Lord bless you, woman of God. Thank you for being with us, Sister Katie. Sister Margaret, again, thank you for being with us. Katie, you came to my church. It was amazing. Praise God. Now let us know where you're from, Sister Katie. We'll keep that area, that church, in our prayers. We believe that as we get to go and share the good news of Jesus, he's being increased more and more with everything we're doing. So I'm sharing. I'm hitting that share button. I'm going to ask you to do the same. Share the podcast. Share. If you're watching via YouTube, you could go ahead and make sure to subscribe. Make sure you're following. And we believe that God is going to add increase to the hearing and the influence of the word of God. God bless you. All right, let's get started with a word of prayer. I believe today is going to be a wonderful time of impartation, of manifestation, and the things of God. So let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray over everyone listening under the sound of my voice. I ask you to open up ears to hear and hearts to discern the word of truth. I pray wisdom and revelation would fall upon the eyes of our understanding. I ask you to manifest goodness and mercy and favor. I pray favor upon your people, that you would get glory and honor through everything that we do and everything that we are. I ask you to speak to our hearts and minister to our spirits, life and life abundantly. Open up the realm of the spirit and let your goodness and mercy abound, God. Speak to our hearts. I pray for revelation, the counsel, the mind of God to be clear, and that you would get glory through everything we do on today. Speak to our hearts, minister to our spirits, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Valerie, for praying for us as we watch. I see you watching from YouTube. All of our YouTube family, make sure to chime in, subscribe, hit that share and that like button. Make sure you're following what God is doing. Sister Mary Duran, God bless you. Sister Rose Bonet, the Lord bless you. We're going to get straight to the word. We're going to the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse 21. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 21. Bless you. Davion Williams, thank you for joining us. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 21 says, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I'm going to reiterate one or two things that we always talk about, but let me make it clear to you. Bless you, Sister Deborah. So good to see you. It's evening there, I'm sure, where you're at. The Lord bless you. But the creature is creation. And I want to encourage you that God has something in mind for everything created. We talked about this last time, that the gospel must be preached to all of creation. God says the gospel must be preached to every creature. And this is God's desire, that every creature hear the good news. Colossians 1 verse 23, we're going to read that. So everything created, every creation. Now, creature is not just living being, it's the word creation. So all of creation, every creation must hear the word of God. Every system, everything built, everything spoken, everything God created. Let's read this here. If you continue in faith and settled, if ye continue, I'm going to encourage you, you're going to continue in faith. You're not going to see the failure of faith, but you're going to see the fulfillment of faith. The Bible says, the scripture tells us, if you continue in faith, rooted and grounded, settled. I'm encouraging you. There's a settling happening in the men and women of God in this generation. God is settling his prophets, his apostles, his men and women of God, and he's rooting you in love so that you can operate in faith. Be not moved from the hope of the gospel. I'm encouraging you to stay in faith. Don't get in the emotions. Bless you, love. Belmontes, welcome. Stay in the word. Don't let the enemy pull you out of the word. Bless you, Sister Mary. Stay in the promise of God. Stay in the hope. The Bible says there are three that abide: faith, hope, and love. What that means, there are three eternal perspectives that do not lose fortitude. When you walk in these eternal perspectives or spiritual dispositions, the devil has to bow to this perspective, to these beliefs, this concept of the Lord. God wants you to walk in fullness. He wants you to walk in power. He wants you to walk in ability, that the love of God. The Bible says there are three that abide: faith, love, and hope. I'll say that again. There are three that abide: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. We know that. We know that that love is the greatest of all of these. But I want to encourage you by the Spirit that God wants you to remain in a place of victory. There are three that abide. There are three that remain. And these three are faith. They are faith. They are hope. And they are love. Go with me to Corinthians chapter number 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3. We're going back to Colossians in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. The scripture says, there are three that abide. There are three that remain. What does that mean? If you're going to remain in your walk with God, if whatever happens in the end time, whether it's opposition, bless you, Gloria, bless you, Sister Teresa, if you're going to see the glory of God, the Bible says that in the last day, there will be a great shaking. Bless you, Sister Morgan. There will be a great sifting. There will be a great dividing, the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tare, and you can't tell which is which. I cannot tell. They're going to grow up together, but the word, the angels of the Lord will divide the sheep from the goat, the wheat from the tare, and there will be a great defection, meaning a great apostasy. A defection is when a soldier is on one side of the army and he goes and fights for the other side. He not only leave his country, now he's fighting for the other side. The Bible says in the last day, there will be a great apostasy, a great falling away, but also a great defection. People will change side and actually fight for the devil's army. They'll leave the kingdom and go to build the kingdom of darkness. How do we remain? The Bible says there are three that give you power to remain. Number one, faith. Number two, hope. Number three, love. These three are eternal perspectives that give you ability to remain in faith, even when it looks impossible, even when it looks unmovable. Bless you, Brother Z. Go back to Colossians 1:23. So what gives you ability to abide? When you walk in faith, when you live in hope, and you are surrounded and rooted and grounded in love. Let me read this again. If you continue in faith, rooted, grounded, and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I want you to write this in the comment section. I am staying in the hope. I'm staying in hope. I'm not moving. Hope is my portion. You've ever seen somebody who is hopeless, without joy? Bless you, Jay. Welcome. I'm staying in the hope. I'm not moving from the hope of glory. I'm not moving from the hope of promise. I'm staying in the hope of the good news. I'm remaining, I'm abiding, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Everything created needs to hear that voice. When I, Paul, am a minister of, go back if you would to Romans 8:21. So I'm gonna encourage you. The sun needs to hear the message. The moon needs to hear the message. The stars need to hear the message. The animals need to hear the message. The birds and the water needs to hear the message. The rocks need to hear the message. The systems of created, the systems of, or spheres of influence need to hear the message. What does that mean? The education system needs to hear the message. The governmental system needs to hear the message. The financial arena needs to hear the message. The church, what is that message? The gospel of the kingdom. I'm staying in hope. I'm not removing. And what will give you power, staying power, rooted in love, walking in faith, and having your hope settled. Not hopeless. You've seen somebody who's hopeless. They've got no joy, no confidence. But the creation itself is going to be delivered by a company of men and women who release freedom through the glory of God coming to the earth. This is the assignment. The creature itself, I'm going to say this again, creation must be preached to, because creation begins to reflect those that are in authority. I'm going to say that again to you. Creation begins to affect those that are in authority. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth he made did not have form, and it was not void. It was created, but it was not formed. I'm going to say it to you again. God made it in Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He brought it into existence. He brought it, but it had not been formed yet. It had not been structured. It had not been aligned yet. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth became without form and void, verse 2, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, where there is no form and where there is no purpose. Void means purposeless. If you write a check and your spouse or somebody in your company writes the same check, you, before you rip it up, you put void on it. It means purposeless. Where there is no formation, there is no purpose. And where there is no purpose, darkness begins to prevail. Confusion begins to prevail. So formation is a design of God. God wants us to be formed. Bless you, Pastor Michelle. So good to see you. We're recovering from the blessing of RTA Florida, RTA St. Augustine with Freedom South Campus. Blessings to you and Pastor Juan. It was an amazing time. Bless you, Brother Frank. Amen. The earth was without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God's Spirit began to move. Verse number 3, then God began to speak and bring order with his words. You can bring order to what's out of order with the word of God. You've got the power and the authority in the name of Jesus to speak to the darkness and command it to go. Command it to bow. Command it to come under your authority. Come under your dominion. God gave you authority to operate, to declare a thing that is not as though it already is. Go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 21. So everything created must be delivered by a generation who know their God, and those that know their God will do great exploits. Verse 21, the creature has a being itself. Go back to that word self. The creature reflects the one that's leading it. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the land is blessed. I'll say that again. The scripture says, when the righteous are in authority, the land is blessed. But when the wicked are in authority, there's a curse and there's a groan in the land. So when God's men and women are in position, the land is blessed. Favor is abounding. Miracles are coming. But when wicked leaders are in position, there is a groan, there is a cry, there is a resistance, there is an opposition. Let me encourage you, God wants the righteous to come into position. And who is righteous? The ones who know the righteous one. Now, we're not righteous of our own power. We're not righteous of our own ability, but it is God that gives us power and he makes us righteous through the blood of Jesus. We can lift up holy hands. We can worship God in spirit and in truth. Again, I'll say it to you that when the righteous are in position, the scripture tells us there is a blessing in the land. But when the wicked are in position, there's a groan and a cry. When the righteous lead, when the righteous are in authority, when the righteous begin to operate and move, when the righteous rule, there's a blessing in the land. Go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. I'm going to read that. The Bible says the people rejoice, the region rejoices, the territory rejoices. When the righteous are in authority, the people, the nation, the realms, they begin to rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. See, wicked rulership keeps us bound. It keeps us underneath. It keeps creation under a curse. See, until Joseph got in position, destruction was on the way. But when God wanted to release blessing, I'll read it again. When the righteous are ruling and leading, when the righteous are in positions of leadership, when the righteous are in position of authority, when the righteous are in position of governmental realms of rulership, there's a blessing in the land. But when the wicked are in authority, when the wicked lead, there's a destruction in the land. There is a curse in the ground. Let's keep reading. Go back to Romans 8:21. The Bible says that all of creation, everything created, will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. I want to tell you right now, God is looking for righteous leaders. Bless you, Pastor Edie. So good to see you. Thank you for joining. God is looking for righteous leaders to stand up and to take authority. God is looking to develop his men. And though gifting is important, gifting is not the primary thing in this last season. Your character will keep you where your gift takes you. God is looking for men and women of integrity or integral, whole men. Men and women that are whole mentally, emotionally, spiritually. God is trying to make us whole so that we can go into the holies of holies and take the keys of the kingdom. And that when God gives a whole man, a whole woman, see, God, the scripture says, healed 10 lepers, but only one of them was made whole. Only one returned and became whole. I just don't want to be healed of a condition. I want wholeness. I want mental wholeness, emotional wholeness. I want a family wholeness. I want financial wholeness. I want ministerial wholeness. I don't want to minister broken all of our lives. I want to minister from a place of victory, a place of authority, a place of dominion, but being whole internally produces victory externally, because the creature itself will be delivered from the bondage, slavery. Now, I've said it before, I'm going to reiterate it again. There are two types of systems of slavery. The Egyptian system you find in the Bible and the Babylonian system. Both of them are meant to keep you working and slaving and never reaping. The devil wants to keep you working, keep you sowing, keep you giving, keep you serving, and never seeing your harvest. But I want to tell you, the devil is a liar. Slavery is work without wage, without reward, without recompense. You sow and you never see the harvest. You sow and you never see the increase. Go with me to Gideon chapter 6. And I want to tell you, God is faithful. And the devil has been lying to some of us. Now, some of us wouldn't say, you know, we know God is holding out on us, but we feel like that. How long do I've got to wait for my breakthrough? How long do I've got to Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1? This is the story of Gideon. Gideon, the man of God, is getting ready to free his people from slavery. That's right, Pastor Edie. He is a rewarder. He is a recompenser. The word reward means to pay a wage. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. God is going to reward you. Now, I understand we're not doing things to get things. I understand this concept that if God never does anything for me, I'll serve him anyway. I believe that that's a good intending statement, but it's not biblical. The biblical statement is he rewards your sacrifice. He's a rewarder of the diligent pursuer. This is a part of God's nature to reward. He said, if you do good to those who do good to you, what reward have you? I'm going there in a minute, but let's read this for a moment. Judges 6 verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of Midian for 7 years. Midian, strife, envy, unresolved offenses underneath, unresolved hurts, wounds, divisions. One of the major things that keeps God from receiving what we put on the altar is unresolved offenses with brethren, sisterin, leaderin. That's not a word, but I made it up. Leaderins, subordinates, somebody who hurts you as a leader. Unresolved issue. He said, if you come to the altar and you remember some not right, you leave your offering there. Go and make it correct and then offer. What does that mean? The condition between me and another man or woman of God, that's my brother, and I've not made an attempt. See, the Bible says there's certain ways to handle things. It says, go to them if done go right. If that done right, go get a leader. If that didn't go right, take it before the church. And if that didn't go right, the Bible says, turn it over to the Lord. And you've got to do as much as you can on your end to make sure you've done things well. When you've exhausted that, you just leave it to God. It's not your job to make somebody change their mind, to fix them. It's your job to make sure your hands are clean, your report is correct, you didn't do the wrong, that if things are examined, not by him or by you or by her or by me, it's examined by God, that you did what was right. And if you didn't do something right, you repented of that. If you didn't do something right, and your hands have to be clean before the Lord. But I want to tell you, unresolved issues, especially among local churches, among local family members, are one of the keys to keeping us in slavery and us not seeing the harvest. Let's keep reading. The hand of Midian prevailed against God's people. Verse 2. How is that possible that God's people are losing to a defeated devil? It is strife. It is division. It is unresolved little issues under the surface. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, because of strife, because of division, because of hurt feelings, because of rejection, because of frustration. The devil is winning a battle he shouldn't be winning for 7 years. And because of this, Israel made up for themselves dens and mountains and caves, so they're living on the run. A cave is not a comfortable place. And yes, we've got to go through hard times, but you're not meant to live in a cave forever. A cave is a solitary place. A cave is a den. They built dens, a den, a crevice, a mountain cleft, a hole. They were in a hole. Then they also lived in mountain, running, fleeing. Caves is also, it's a bigger hole, but it's a hole. They lived in a stronghold. Now this word stronghold, we know in Corinthians, we're to pull down strongholds. Now strongholds are safe places for war. That's a good thing. But strongholds in our mind, in our emotions, in our feelings. Let me remind you, your feelings, my feelings must be committed to the Lord. Blessing to everybody. Welcome, Sister Lydia. Thank you for being here. The Bible says these strongholds have to come down according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We pull down the strongholds by bringing the thoughts into obedience. Go there if you would. I'm going to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll start at verse 4, that we've got some weapons. We've got military force. We've got arsenals. We've got to pull the, we pull down these strong, they're not physical, but they're spiritual. But they're mighty to the pulling down of these strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's a high place in our mind, in our thinking, in our belief system. Bless you, Sister Lucinda. It's a high place in our mind, in our thinking, in our belief systems. It's contrary to the word. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I don't have them. We all have them. Not me, I'm so holy. No, we all have areas we're working through. Verse number 5 says, we gotta bring the stronghold. How do we do it? We cast down imaginations, thoughts. You gotta take authority over your thought life. How do I do that? I've introduced God's word to my thoughts. I bring my thoughts into, here's what it says, you cast down the vain imaginations, because the imagination is good, but the wicked imagination can destroy you. What you meditate on in secret. I'm not just talking about sexual or perverse thoughts of the opposite sex or the same sex, God help them. I'm talking about dreaming in your mind. What I would do if I was free as a bird. If I was just not married to this joker anymore, I would be free in my mind. What I would do if I wasn't tied to this church, where I would go if I wasn't. These imaginations, I heard a man of God, and it is correct. To God, imaginations are reality. I'm going to say that again. To God, imagination are your reality. When you dream it, God says it's so. This is why he said, don't you lust after a woman in your heart. Because when you've done it in your heart, it's already done in heaven. So in your imagination, whenever that thing comes, you got to, that's right, Pastor, rethink. You got to cast that thing down. And it's not wrong to think it, because you didn't, that the origin of the thought wasn't you. James says, when that thought fully grows, it brings forth death. So your temptation comes, we're drawn out of desire, and when that temptation grows, it produces an action. That the action grows, it produces a habit, and the habit grows, and ultimately it destroys, it kills. But the thought isn't you. That crazy thought, it ain't you. What do? I cast it down. That thought don't have right to be in my mind. I cast it down. The thought of impurity, the thought of anger, the thought of bitterness, the thought of perversion, you got to learn how to cast things down. Let me think about it a while. If it's not in God's word, if it's not from the Holy Ghost, you got to learn to lock your mind down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So here is what the devil wants. He wants to exalt his thoughts above the knowledge of God. So if this is the knowledge of God, let's pretend in this hand are the thoughts of God, the mind of God, the promises of God for your family, for your children, for your marriage, for your ministry, for your destiny, for your health. God's promises are here. He needs you to lift them high. For he said, if I be lifted high, I will draw men. I will produce resource. But what we can do, we can pull down the thoughts of God and we can raise up the lie in our mind, in our thoughts. You ain't no good. You ain't ever going anywhere. God's never going to use you. Your leader's never going to recognize you. You're never going to be promoted. You're going to be here till you die. The devil will lie. And when you hear it, you got a choice. I can, or I can cast that joker down. And I can lift, the devil is a lie. Well, that's tiring. It's tiring at first. Because if we fed now I'm not against any animals. I'm more of a dog person. If you love cats, I'll pray for you in Jesus' name. But I'm a dog person. Amen. But whether you feed the dog or you feed the cat, if you put the milk out, the cat's going to keep coming back. You can tell him, don't come back here. But you keep putting milk out, he's going to keep coming. You can kick the cat. But if you still keep coming, putting milk out, he's coming. What does that mean? You keep feeding this thing, this spirit's going to come back. You've got to let him know, I'm not going to dwell. I cast down imaginations and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and I bring into captivity. See, the devil wants to bring the creation under captivity, and God wants to raise his sons up and daughters up, but God can't raise them up until we learn to bring our thoughts into captivity. You got to lock your mind down. Say, ain't no lie getting in this ear. Ain't no lie getting in this heart. Because if you think about it long enough, it becomes reality. You bring every thought to obedience of the word. every thought to obedience of the promise. Every thought, I want to declare, you're going to see fulfillment of the promise of God. Every thought to obedience, hupokoe, obedience, compliance, submission. Now, let me remind you, submission is not just doing it. That's a form of submission, but that's not full submission. That's the low, I did it, but I did it mad and angry, and I kicked my feet, and I sucked my teeth, and I hit the wall. I took out the trash, but I let them know I wasn't happy. You know, you ever tell your kids, take out the trash? And they're playing something, they're watching something, they pretend they didn't hear you. They probably heard you, maybe they didn't hear you. Who knows about the psyche of children nowadays? And you come back and say, didn't I tell you to take this trash out? You turn it off now. They get upset now. And now you're upset. You got to try to be patient in Jesus' name. Don't let them push your buttons. And now they say, all right. And they grab the trash, but they kick the can, and they drag the bag on the ground. They spill that. You're going to pick up all that trash if that bag breaks. And they do it, but they do it with a wrong heart. That's not submission. That's the lowest form, if you would, of obedience. Obedience is compliance with his will when I didn't want it and I didn't think it was right. But I said, God, the mission is greater. What is sub? Sub is under mission. What is the mission? The purpose and the destiny. And so when the general or the corporal tells the private, do this, he must obey and comply with a direct order from a superior in command because he's involved in a company and he has a mission to fulfill. This is the job. Now, when he disenrolls from the army, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I don't want to be told when to come, when to go. I don't want to be told to get to church at this time. I don't want to be told how much I should give and I should pray and read these many verses. I want to do what I want. You can do that. But I want to tell you, there is a company that must submit because your submission is the key to your leadership. If you don't submit, how can God put people under your authority? And you're meant to be a leader. I'm talking to leaders on the line. The key to your leadership is your submission. And I hear people in your ear whispering to try to get you not to fully submit. I don't know who, it may be a marriage, it may be a church. I hear people talking you out of submission. Well, girl, well, brother, you don't need, don't take all that. That's just religion, and I'm free as a bird. You're free, but you ain't going nowhere. You're free as a bird in your backyard, and then you're going to heaven not doing anything for God. You know those free birds who don't submit to anybody, who want pulpits but don't want to serve anywhere? They want to go preach to thousands and preach crusades. You know what it takes to preach to thousands in a crusade? Do you know what it takes to preach to hundreds of thousands in a coliseum? The teams, the finances, the departments, the local churches that have to come under? And how is God going to give you that authority if you can't be faithful to being on time to church? I don't know who I'm talking to. If we can't be faithful to our little attitude, but we got this little thing in front of us and we don't understand the key. I'm talking to men and women. I see nations on the line. I see world shakers. I see auditoriums, not full, but bursting. Not just being preached to, the glory hitting these nations, children being delivered, mothers being well. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from the Lone Ranger style. Come and go when I please. It comes from submitting to something that God puts you under. Now, I'm not telling you to submit everywhere. I'm not telling you just submit to what anybody tells you and just do it and be abused. We've seen that. But I'm telling you to pray in the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, Lord, where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be connected? And when he shows it to you and when he confirms it, stop doubting it. Come all the way in the name of, I don't know who this is for. We cast down the imagination that's exalting itself. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the living word. So there's a living word, you take control. Verse number 6, then after this is done, you prepare to revenge the spirit of disobedience. I love this verse. It's one of my top 3 in all of the Bible. Having readiness and preparedness to revenge the devil. I'm not after people, I'm after the devil. I'm not after the one who hurt me, I'm after the devil. I'm not after the wound of who stole from me, I'm after the devil. I'm not after the one who slandered me and talked about me. Let God deal with it. I'm after the spirit behind the person. I want to make the devil pay for what he stole from me and stole. Having readiness to revenge. All disobedience, that's right. Disobedience is a lack of compliance. Obedience is compliance to the mission, full surrender, mind, will, soul. And it's not really submission till you don't agree with it. I'm giving somebody a key on how to get promoted. I don't agree. It ain't sin, but I don't like it that way. I want it this way. Hear me, sir. This is to a wife. This is to a son or daughter. This is to a spiritual leader under leadership. I'm telling you how to get promoted. You don't want to go through 2024 where you are exactly there. 25, 26, 30, 20, 40, and be in the same boat. Promote. How? How can I promote? The mind, the heart, the soul. Bring it into captivity to obedience to the word. Get the motive right. Say, yes, Lord. Thank you that I can submit my will, submit my thoughts. And this is what happened. This is what happens. I'll make this clear. I've got teenagers. I've got the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old. The 2-year-old and the 4, they're the babies. And they run around and they make a lot of noise, but we love them, Nora and Zoe. I've got the 13-year-old, I've got the 15-year-old, and I've got the 20-year-old. And sometimes with the older ones, they think they know better than dad. They think, you know, they won't tell me they know. They know better than to tell me that, but they think they know better than dad. And I'll tell them something, and I'll sometimes see that they don't agree with what I tell them. And when I'm being patient, I should maybe talk to them about that, but they have to learn to trust that what their father is leading them in is for their good and their benefit. And I've got to give an account to God. This is how the kingdom works and submission. If we understood this, when God assigns you something, I'm not talking about just going to church somewhere. I'm not talking about being in a relationship with somebody. I'm talking about your covenant of marriage. Some of you are married and you're struggling with this. I can't trust my husband because he don't got it all together. He's a little fleshly every now and again. And when he gets it right, then I'll submit. That's not how it works. Your husband is going to be delivered. I'm talking to a wife, is going to grow in his spiritual nature by you honoring him and speaking words of life. And then when you submit, if he gets out of line, guess who will check that man? Not you. I got to keep him alert. That's not your job, to keep your head in order. You can give him counsel. You can pray with him. You got to be honoring. You can share your thoughts, but it's not your job. The Bible tells us that we are not to rebuke elders. We're not to do that. What do you do? Who does that? The head of that person. And when there's submission, guess what? God. So if, here's a picture. God, right? The husband, the wife, and the children. We say, well, they're here. Yes, they're here. They are equal in that they are peers, but there's headship. And you don't have to like it. Well, the man is just as good as the look, we're not speaking chauvinistically. There's an order to marriage. It's in the Bible. I didn't put it there. And you've got to honor your husband as the church should honor Christ. Reverence, to be in reverence of leadership. And it's his job to love you and to die for you. That's his job. Love you and die for you. The Bible says love and die. This is not a Bible session on marriage, but we're talking about the church as well. And the church is afraid to submit. Really, really submit, because, well, I could get hurt. If I really, really come in with obedience, I may get rejected. If I really, really obey, my husband may misuse me. If it's God, if it's the head, if it's the wife, and it's the children, if this is God's order, when the woman submits unto God, if the husband is out of order, guess who fixes him? God will take care of that business. That's called submission. No, I want to rebuke him. I want to slap him. That's not your job. I want to give him a piece of my mind. That's not God. That's not God. It's your job to submit from your heart and to pray for your leader and to pray for your head. And to pray. This is not just for marriages. I don't know why we're talking about this, but the Lord said that we will have readiness to revenge disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. And this is a problem in the kingdom. We want to promote laterally. Things get hard and we want to move marriages. We want to move relationships. We want to move jobs. We want to move churches. We want to move assignments not having fulfilled and promoted there. You got to promote out of where you are. You don't just move laterally. It's hard here, so I give up, I go somewhere else. That's not how the kingdom works. You can keep doing that, but you're not going to see spoils. After your obedience is fulfilled, the devil will make, or God will make the devil pay through you. Judges 6 verse number 2 says, I don't know why we're talking this way, but I guess God is speaking. And we're going to let him do that by his grace. Judges chapter 6, 2, and Midian prevailed, the Bible says, that the enemy prevailed, the scripture. I want to tell you, it's time for the devil to stop prevailing if you and your covenant partner, husband or wife, church leader that's from God. I mean, you know he's from God. You know she's from God. If you, your team around you can come into agreement, the miracle is not far for your family, for your children, for your brothers, for your, don't you want to see my family? Yes, we got to die. We're going to talk about that tonight. We are dead. What does that mean to be dead? And our life is hidden with Christ. That everything we want and feel and think should be surrendered to God. Everything, not some things. I don't like it. I don't want it. Okay, let me take it to the Lord. I'm dead. You don't know when there's problems that happen in all of our lives? When we try to live, not Christ. He said, the hand of Midian prevailed because the Midianites, the children, lived in mountains and then. Go to verse 3. We're going to pray in a moment. But I believe God is speaking to some of us on this line. And it was so that when Israel sowed that Midian, verse number 3, it was so when they sowed and that when they put seed into the ground, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about giving, seeking and praying and fasting. I'm talking about serving God in his house. A seed, bless you, China and George. It was so when Israel had sown that strife came up and the Amalekites, which is the dwellers of valley. So now the devil teams up. There's strife, division. There's unresolved offenses. There's bitterness, but you still don't like the individual. You still can't stand hearing and looking at them. That means something internally is wrong. But he hurt me. They said this about me. It doesn't matter. They are keeping my harvest at bay because I'm holding it inside. And I'm not going to let nobody who hurt me keep me from my breakthrough. My children need it. My church needs it. Your family needs it. When they sown division and then the valley dwellers. The valley dwellers are different. They are the ones who want to keep you in the valley forever. Bless you, Monique. They want to keep you in the valley. You're not meant for the valley. You're meant for the mountain. You're not meant for the low place. You're meant for the high place. You're not meant to be under. You're meant to rise above. Now, these valley dwellers come in different forms. Now, your family may not stay valley dwellers forever. If you do what you're called to do, you will bring deliverance to your family. Say amen. But for now, you got to discern who's a valley dweller and who's a mountaintop dweller. You've got to discern who is the chicken and who is the eagle. And if you spend time with family, you're not just there just to spend time, though that's a good thing. You're there to save them. You know, if I'm ever around anybody that don't know Jesus, I'm not there to kick it. I don't go to hang out. What's that word, kick it? That's the old 80s and 90s word. It just means hang out. I'm not there to just chill. I'm there to see them delivered. I'm on a mission. I don't hang out with unsaved people. Jesus was a friend of sin. He didn't just enjoy the club. He didn't just enjoy wickedness. You want to know why he was there? To set the captive free, to open the eye of the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. Those that were proud didn't think they needed a physician. So he didn't just be a friend of sinner just because he liked to hang out in the club because the smell of cigarettes reminded him of back when he was in his youth. No, he didn't. No, that's not why. He didn't like the music. Wasn't about that. He was there to win them, to save them, to deliver. He hung out with them not to just befriend them where they are. He was a friend of sinner to see them saved, sanctified, and delivered. So I don't have anything in common with unsaved people. I don't. I don't have anything in common with carnal Christians. I don't. I'm not trying to be rude. I can't talk to everybody. I can't be friends with everybody. I can be friendly to everybody. My friends list is it's shorter and getting shorter every day. If I'm your leader, I'm not your friend. I'm friendly. If I'm your leader, I'm not your friend. I'm friendly. The friends list is very small. Associates. Doesn't mean you can't be friendly. You got to be friendly. But leaders have to be able to lead and direct and correct. And when this friendship grows, then it's so hard to bring correction. That's got to be corrected. You got to correct in love. You got to correct gently. And you got to do it honorably. You got to try to be growing up. You know, you had one of those parents who used to whoop you, and they whooped you with the belt. They whooped you. They got angry, and they were yelling. They were throwing things. That's not correction. That's an impatient parent who is sowing division in that baby because they're correcting angrily. And enraged, out of control. Their words are hurting. But when your parents sit you down and say, look, this was wrong, son. You shouldn't have did this. I love you, and here is this correction. Let's fix that. That should be received that way. We got to learn to do that. Receive that and then teach that way, not frustration. Because frustration sows frustration. I don't know why we're here, but we're here and we're talking in the Holy Ghost. Bless you, Sister Corinthia. And it was so when Israel sowed, the Midians came and the valley dwellers. So again, don't hang out with valley dwellers unless you're going to try and win them to Jesus. Keep your company short and small. Keep your circle small of people who are going to take you further, going to sharpen you. And the children of the East, this word East, remember, is they're blocking a destination. Even they came against them. So they sowed. And the Bible says, verse 4, they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came to Gaza. They destroyed the harvest of the earth till they came to the strong place. Gaza means the strong. And they left no sustenance. So the only place that had sustenance was Gaza. Gaza means the strong place. You don't know where strength comes from God. Men that are strong, women that are strong, they lean on Jesus. That's where strength comes from. Men and women that are weak, they lean on themselves. When I'm weak, when I feel that motion, I got to go to him because he said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And when I'm weak, then am I made strong. Where does true strength come from? Not from my own ability. It comes from leaning on God. I gotta go to Gaza. I gotta get strength from him, not from me. But if I keep doing this, I'll appear strong to people. I'll appear like I'm walking with authority and walking with a knowledge. And that's what's necessary to be a leader in this life. You got to have courage. The word be of good cheer means to be full of courage. I thought that word always meant get happy, which it does. But it also means be bold and be courageous. Be of good cheer means be full of courage. In this world, you're going to have problems. But be bold, be courageous. Because I've overcome what you're about to face. Everything you face, God has already overcome. If you know that in your mind, you're looking at a situation that's impossible, a bill, a tribulation, a struggle, an opposition, you can have courage because God is with you. They encamped and they stole the increase to Gaza and they left no sustenance. I'll say that again. They left no sustenance. This word is Makkah, preservation, life, reviving, no refreshing. No flesh, no food, no water, but also no spiritual revival. There was nothing left of the earth for Israel, neither sheep or ox or donkey. For they came up with their cattle and with their tents, and they came as grasshoppers. There were so many of them, it looked like multitudes of grasshoppers. For they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. They came to destroy. There were so many, you couldn't stop them. And Israel was greatly impoverished, languished, hanging low, Delah. Languish, hang low, be low, act low, distressed, weak, look weak, weak in eyes, weakly vision, weak vision. They had low vision. They were brought low. They laid low. They were in distress. And they dangled in this. They stayed in this low place. Because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And it came pass when the children of Israel cried to the Lord because of Midianites that the Lord sent a messenger. That's the beginning of the change, a message. God send me an army. No, I'm gonna send you a message. God send me a check. God, I need a check. God, I need a promotion. God, I need to leave this. No, I'm gonna send you a word. I don't want a word, I want money. I don't want a word, I want a house. I don't want a word, I want this stuff fixed. I'm tired of words. There's something wrong with that feeling. I felt it before and I had to examine, what do you mean I don't want a word again? Because I'm gonna go through more battle, okay? And at the end of the battle, what do I get? Spoils. I don't want the test, then I don't get to pass the test, then I don't get the promotion. So do I want to stay where I am? In order for me to go to the next opportunity, as we're ready to pray, Psalms chapter 23 tells us, the scripture tells us, Psalms chapter 23, verse 5, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup run over. I want the run over. I want the oil, but I don't want the enemy. I don't want the test. If you do not get the test, you do not get the proving, you don't get the promotion. When God is going to lead you to your next dimension, he arranges a testing. Goliath wasn't to destroy him. I'm out of time. All right. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to pray. We're going to conclude. But I'm praying. You know what the number one prayer at the moment for me is? Discernment. I'm asking for the seven spirits of God to become clear. One of them is the spirit of discernment, to discern. Not to call evil good or good evil. Not to turn down a door that God wants me to go through, but not to walk through a door God don't want me to go through. Not to reject somebody who I should receive, but also not to receive somebody that I shouldn't be around. I'm asking God, give me discernment. To choose what you want and not what I'm praying, God, give me discernment. I don't, not this suspicious stuff. It's discernment, and I discern this. Not suspicion, Holy Ghost discernment. Holy Ghost, not I'm offended and I use my gift to discern wrong. I wanna know discerning what God is saying. I wanna walk in this, I'm asking, God, give me, I've gotta make decisions. Decisions that will affect my home and my family, my children, the ministry. It's going to ultimately, the decision you make will affect the world. Joseph, Esther, the decision you make and you don't make, it will affect the world. Who I should be around, who I shouldn't be. Well, I like this person. Doesn't matter who I like. I don't like this person. Doesn't matter if I like him or not. What does God require? What does God require? Verse number 5, you make a table before me in the presence. You know, if we don't have discernment, you know what we'll do? We'll rebuke the lion's den. If you were to tell me, Apostle, this is coming up, and next in a month, and they're going to try to put me in a figurative lion's den. More than likely, naturally, if I'm not hearing God, I'm going to try to pray for good for everybody. But if Daniel was not discerning, he could have rebuked the lion's den. You know what discernment is? I'll go to the lion's den, but you're going to close the mouth of the lion. Now, naturally, you know, if you were going to lion's den, I'd be praying, Lord, don't let him go to lion's den. I'd be praying that too. You know what discernment is accepting the fire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to go through the fire. You know, let's rebuke this fire. You know, in the name of Jesus, we bind that fire of the king Nebuchadnezzar. We come against that fire. We are not going in the fire. No, it was God's will that they get in that fire. You want to know why? The fourth man would be seen. The king would see it. And when they came out of the fire, the king said, there is no God but the God of these boys. It was God's will. We could have rebuked it. And I would have wanted to rebuke it, naturally. We could have said, God, no, Daniel, you ain't going to no lion's den. But after this, the king fasted with Daniel. The Bible said the angel closed the mouth of Daniel, of the mouth of the lion. And then when the king came and he was fasting with Daniel, are you down there? I'm here. He pulled him out and he threw those wicked men in there. He said, there's no God like the God of Daniel. You know, Jesus could have rebuked the cross. I don't want to go to the cross. We got to have discernment to know that God is saying yay and God's saying nay. God's saying do and God's not saying do. We got to pray what he says. That the enemy is not to destroy you, sir. This attack, this one is not, you're stronger than you were last year, woman of God, man of God. You're stronger than you were 6 months ago. This is not to take. Well, I'm going through the same thing I want. You want to know why? God's getting ready for you to pass this test. Romans 8:21, I'm going to read this and we're going to conclude. Bible says the creature will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glory, freedom of God's sons and daughters. Galatians 6 verse 9, I'm going to read this to you as our last verse, and we're going to pray. I said we're going to pray. We're going to come into agreement with your assignment. You are not going to get weary in doing well. I'm going to say it again. We're not going to be weary. Let us not get weary of doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Now, we could look at this statement and say, well, let's pray that the harvest come so we don't faint. That's one way to look at this verse. But another way to look at this verse is say, Lord, heal me so I understand I'm going to always do well. There's nothing else. I remember in my youth, I would say, Lord, if you don't come through by this many months, I'm going to make money. When I was a young man, I said, you know, if this vision don't work out, I'm going to go be a salesman. I'm going to go drive trucks. I just want to be normal. If this God stuff, kingdom stuff, promise stuff doesn't pan out the way, you know, I can't waste my life. And I had at that time started serving God in my teens at 17. And I sat at the table and when I came back to the Lord at 17 and said, what are you going to do with your life? God spoke to me. What are you going to do? And it came to me, what can I do that I'm paid forever and ever and ever and ever and ever for? I said, you could be a doctor. Nothing wrong with being a doctor if you're called to be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. Nothing wrong with being a lawyer if God's calling you to be a kingdom lawyer. You could do this. You could do that. I saw I could go all these roads. But he said, you can be a minister unto God, and you and your generations will be blessed forever. Now we know now. Then we didn't know then what we know now. Now you can be a priest and a king. You can do business, but hear me, your first role is priestly. And I remember in my 20s, 10 years later, looking back and said, what fruit do I have? And the devil will just lie to you. You ain't got no fruit. You don't got no money. You don't have no retirement plan. You don't have no benefits. You don't see anybody following you. You're all alone. You're in this desert. You're by yourself. You got this promise. You wasted your youth. Early 30s, the enemy tried to tell me, you wasted all, you could have been a doctor by now. 12, 15 years later, you could have been a surgeon. You could have been making money. You could have been this and that. And the devil was trying to torment us with this decision. And the devil was a lie. I had to silence that voice, not just in my thoughts, not just in my soul, but in my heart. I had to come to the knowledge that God said it. I'm sure about it. I'm sure. Can nobody change what God told me about me? I'm not trying to be arrogant. God said it about me, and now I believe it. And when I started believing it, it started coming to pass. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm blessed and emotional. I'm talking when I begin to know it. And the more I know it, it just comes. I don't have to make it. I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to self-promote. I don't have to scheme. You know, we talked about this weekend in Florida. What is witchcraft? Using the spirit for your motives and not God's. That's witchcraft. Using the spiritual realm for your agendas and not God's. Twisting and turning and manipulating. And it doesn't work out. And it never gets you what you think you're going to get. Just sit down. Learn. Submit yourself. I'm talking to a leader somewhere in Facebook land. From your heart, submit yourself somewhere, settle yourself, and your promise will come. You can't make it, you can't force it, you can't hurry it, but you can get your heart and your mind. Do not be weary in doing well. What's the issue? I'm tired of doing good. This happens a lot. They call it burnout. I'm tired of serving. I'm tired of giving. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of being there early and leaving. I just get worn out. I'm just tired of all this war. You want to know why? Something's happening in the heart. Well, what should we do? We got to be healed. We got to be healed. We got to be healed. What else is there? There's nothing. If I'm not doing good, well, either I'm not going to do anything or I'm going to go back to doing evil. That's the only three options. Either I'm going to do good and God, what God said, or I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to get mad and do nothing. I'm just going to take a break. I'm just going to sit there and think deep thoughts about what God said and how I missed it. I'm going to be tormented, or I'm going to do the wrong thing. I'm going to go in the will of the enemy and turn from God, or I'm going to settle my heart and let God heal me, because God will make good on what he told you. I said, God will make good on what he told you. Do not get tired of doing well. I don't see harvest. It's coming, sir. I don't see breakthrough. It's coming, ma'am. I don't see them. No one's, it's coming. Nothing can stop what God said. But the delaying of your promise, when your heart is sick, your hope is deferred. That's what it means. A sick heart defers hope. That's what's translated. Maketh is not there. A sick heart defers your hope. So 40 years, 11 day journey. This year is the year. They can't get the wound out. They can't get the offense out. They can't get the bitterness out. They can't get the frustration out. So guess what? They got to go around the mountain another year. And got to go around again. They go around again. They go around again until the time of testing is over. And God says, enough. Bring me the next generation. God, do not let that be us. Do not let that be us, that I refuse the voice. And we'll say, that can't happen. It can if we are in unbelief. Now, if you believe, you cannot die. If you are in unbelief, it will delay and delay and delay and delay and delay. And you'll be mad at God. You'll be mad at your leaders. You'll be offended at everybody, not realizing it was internal. Do not get tired of doing well. If there is weariness in doing the right thing, we've got to check our hearts. That means somewhere we're offended. Somewhere we're hurt, we're wounded. Number two, due season is a kairos moment when spirit and chronos work. When kairos and chronos, kairos spirit time, chronos earth time, it merges, and you have suddenly moments. Suddenly the heavens open. And suddenly the keys are given, and suddenly the earth shakes. We're not far from this moment where suddenly begin your season is now due. It's a moment of fulfillment, and you begin to reap and 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 you just keep reaping. It just starts coming, and it's like, wow. I almost missed it. You want to know why? The way you know it was time to reap, you felt like you were going to faint. I almost fainted. David said, I would have fainted if I didn't believe to see God's hand. I need to pray with you. God's not mad at you. You're on the line. You're listening to me. If you're under the sound of my, God is not mad at you. God loves you. God has great things for you. And what you've done cannot compare to what God is about to do through you. The best that you've done is the smallest. I said, there's so much that's going to happen through you. There's so many miracles. There's so many signs. Oh, you are a part of the last day generation, and the last shall be first. He saved the best Holy Ghost wine for last. The glory of the latter will be, you live in a dispensation. If Paul could trade with you, he would. If Daniel could trade with you, he would. They look because they believed, according to Hebrews, not receiving the promise. All of those mighty men, even all of the apostles, he said, there's a dispensation coming. It's called the fullness of times. It's the end of the age, the last generation, where God will show the fullness of the stature, of the measure. The glory will come in a way unprecedented, and you're a part of that. And the suffering you went through in this present time cannot compare to the glory that will come through your life. Hear me, man. Hear me, woman of God. Hear me, son and daughter of God. Chosen vessel, David, Esther, Joshua, you will do greater. You will do more. You will change the world. That's why it's so hard. That's why it feels so difficult. But God is not going to leave you. I'm going to pray with you. Lord, I pray over this man. I pray over this woman of God, this great vessel. I see vessels of dirt vessels. I see vessels of silver, see vessels of bronze. Bible speaks of these different kinds of vessels, but there are those that are golden vessels for honor, vessels of honor. You are called to be a vessel of honor, and you went through that dishonor. You went through that disappointment season. You went through that hurt and that loss and that rejection and that abandonment and that waiting and that season of where nothing's moving. But hear me, by the Spirit, God is bringing you into your covenant season. Your time is not coming. It's here. And I decree in the name of Jesus, what God said to you, you are going to see. You are not going to faint. You are not going to lay out. You are not going to go under. You are not going to give up. You're not going to go backwards. You're going to advance in the kingdom of God. For God is looking for an individual to pour his blessing out. So God, I pray you bless this man. You bless this woman. You strengthen them. You encourage them. You revive them. You increase them. You multiply them. You favor them. You abound them in every good work. For these are your chosen vessels, and you will see the promise. The devil will regret the moment he messed with you. Your home, your family, your children, they are God's. Not one of your house will be lost. You and your whole house shall be saved. As for you and your house, they shall, they will, they already have in the Spirit, serve the Lord. And God, I decree this finished work in this man, for the kingdom is not here or there. It is inside of them. Let them come to a conclusion in their hearts, in our minds, in our souls, concerning what is right and what is good and what is true. And God, help us to rule our hearts well. Help us to rule our minds well. Help us to rule our souls and our tongues well, that we would be counted worthy to rule in this last day. For those that suffer with you shall rule and reign with you. Lord, you said, I'm going to hand out cities. You said you're going to hand out cities, some 5 and some 10, some 20. Cities will be handed out to men. Regions. You understand Paul, an apostle to Corinth, that's a city. Paul, an apostle to Rome, that's a huge city. Paul, an apostle to Colossae, that's a city. Ephesus was cities that God gave the man of God. These were areas that God really appointed him. None of this fake apostolic. Real apostleship is governmental authority, kingdom authority, financial authority. That you say what comes in and you say what comes out by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God wants to give you that kind of power, that whatever you bind in the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in the earth will be loose in heaven. You will push back the gates of hell in your community, in your territory, in the nation. God will send you. God is going to use you, and no man is going to stop you. I pray this now. Now I pray courage over these men, strength over these women, and encouragement over their mind. I ask this now in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with the man of God, somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.